sometimes it's called the sacrifice of praise. Because the really and truthfully, y'all,
the only gift you can give God is your praise. That's why it troubles me in my spirit, growing in my spirit. For those of us who don't let go and let loose and give God the praise. And I know what you tell me in public. Everybody don't do it the same way, Pastor. I know what that's what you're saying. But you've got to do it some way. Then the people in public today clap. Luke 2, verse 20. We stand in Luke. I like this. We stand right here. To you, we don't have doctorates in history. Wash night is at night. We also apologize to you and others that wash night ain't at 7. Us to have stayed up all night, December 31st, 1862, waiting for the Emancipation Proclamation to go into effect on January 1st of 1863. Now I know what you're saying. That was then. We was free. Ain't nobody need to be staying up in church all night. Still is for some people. There's no better place to be than the house of worship. You've got to be a serious saint when you come back tonight. You really got to believe that he is your Alpha and your Omega. Luke 2:20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying God and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. Told unto them. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. We'll talk about when shepherds shouted. When shepherds shouted. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that had been told unto them. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that had heard and all the things that had been shown unto them. I really child, everything on their list. I really enjoy the Christmas season. I will tell you that nothing is now more special now than when you have little kids who you're able. Jesus brings the gifts. One of my children who acts just like his daddy. I'm going to leave you right now. I'm one of those persons who enjoys getting surprises, enjoys surprising people. Someone else out of there with don't like that at all. Try on the shoes before you buy them for me. I just enjoy surprising people, going above and beyond. I enjoy this Christmas season, being with family and friends, and enjoying seeing people happy. It ain't always the gift. It ain't always the size of the gift. It's just the fact that somebody thought about you. Let me pause and put a quarter in the meter and thank you sincerely from the top and bottom of my heart as the shepherd of this flock. For those of you who see it every year, a duty, a heartfelt desire to provide some tangible expression of your love, whether it's in currency, a check, or some gift. There are some big hearts in this here congregation. Thank those of you who think that really you are giving praise unto God, that you got a halfway good shepherd. I don't want it to ever go without saying how grateful I am. Not that you gave me anything, because God has already blessed abundantly, but that you thought about not me, but you thought about the role and my role in your life. And biblically, you want to pour into that role. Biblically into that role in your life. Not that I need another dollar, but you're pouring into the man of God and saying, thank you, God, that you're giving me a halfway good man to be my pastor. I will also tell you on the flip side that it's sometimes hard for me to fully enjoy, like you all enjoy, the Christmas season because of the other job that I'm a part of. That other job, it's 7 days a week, 24 hours in a day, 12 months in a year. It does not ever, ever, ever take a vacation. Then no day is really off unless you're overseas when you're in my other vocation. We work on Christmas. Someone passes, we can't just leave them there. Somebody needs comfort. Someone needs information. This electronic leash keeps us tied to our business. So we can never, ever lapse, ever leave the office or close up the school like some of you can and go back at the first of the year. And so it is difficult, especially when you have family, that you have to separate yourself sometimes because you have to be in need. And those of you who are in the medical and nursing industry, you know that you can't ever always get away from your job. And like I told you earlier, I have a pastoral friend here in Columbia, pastor of church here in Columbia, that committed suicide 3 days before Christmas. Now, when I went to go pick up his family, Erica, from the house, and the funeral was after Christmas. 3 days after Christmas was the funeral. When I went to the house, there were still Amazon boxes in the living room that the family could not even open because the joy, help me somebody, of Christmas had been taken away by the sting of death. Erica intimated to the fact those of you who lost real close loved ones, like a mother or a husband or a child, it's difficult to celebrate all 24 hours of that day. Because your memory will get a hold of you. Memory will remind you that somebody is missing from the table. Somebody doesn't have a gift underneath the tree. And so acts of depression and sadness come in during the Christmas season. And it's hard sometimes to be happy when you're in the hospital during this season, to go to minister to people during this season who are hospitalized. Sometimes it ain't always happy, joyful and does not cause us to really want to praise him. And maybe that's what happened earlier in this exposition this morning, that the heaviness of the season, the weight of depression, the weight of sadness, maybe sometimes it holds you down. Because ain't no weight on your body, ain't no chains on your feet, but your mind goes somewhere else. And you can't come in here sometimes and just praise him and worship him because your mind be every other place that it should not be. Because in this moment, in this hour and a half, one of the things that you should just be concentrating on is him and him alone. Not what you got to do after church. Not the fact that you got to go back to work on Tuesday. Not the fact what we're going to eat. But on him and him alone. And then when you concentrate on him and him alone, then you can't help but to have joy. Even in the midst of this season. The fact that you were allowed to see Christmas and your family and the joy of your children one more time is enough to give God praise. Luke tells us that on that day, I don't know why they don't either. On that day, right? Not by yourself, it ain't. On that day that the Savior was born, that day that he was born, not just in a hospital, but in a manger, in a dirty barn on the outstreets of Bethlehem. On that day that he was born, none of Mary's family showed up. None of Joseph's brothers were there. For all of us who had babies, especially when you're the husband, you make those calls. And that mama knowing, grandma knowing, your in-laws knowing, the godparents knowing that the baby is on the way. And this did not happen on the day that Jesus was born. When no cell phone, know how to call nobody. But no family member that we know of by blood showed up at the manger to congratulate the new parents. Some shepherds showed up on that day that he was born in the manger. Some shepherds that were abiding in their fields, as the text said. Some shepherds that were just minding their own business, but were ready for revelation. Shepherds. Who work by themselves, who move by themselves, who are lonely by themselves. Shepherds who are minding their own business, tending to their own sheep, and as we say in the African American community, tending to their own business. You tend to yours, I tend to mine. They were Erica available to receive a revelation. And that's really a good word right there that I could just end on and let you all go. That sometimes the only way you can get a revelation is when you're minding your own business. The only time that you can really hear from God is when you are concerned about you and your Christian experience and your own growth and not about what everybody else is doing. God can't send you my word. God can't send you my will. God can't send you what's best for me. I got to spend some time with God to hear what God wants for me and me alone. And maybe that's why it was the shepherds and not the magi who came that first day. Not the rich men. Not the rulers. Not the guys who had the gifts. But it was dead, lonely, quiet shepherds. There in the maternity ward. Shepherds. Shepherds. Shepherds came and behold the birth of Jesus. Well, I'm sure that the reason why God had shepherds come and not rulers and magi on the day that his son was born is because God always in the text uses shepherds as the persona. vocation of a pastor. He had to have shepherds come because, again, the shepherd is the pastor and the leader of the flock and the one who carries the word of God. It had to be men who would carry the word of God, who beheld the birth of the word of God. It had to be the men who act like God. For the Lord is my provider. I shout him out because he is my provider. The thing that he's going to give the word to, he had them show up first to make sure that they would then make sure to carry the word to others. And so the Bible says that after they were there, nobody else was there but them. And then the Magi came days later when they were in the house.
Shepherds came when it's dirty. Shepherds come when you're about to go on hospice. Shepherds come when you lose your job. Shepherds come when you ain't got a dime in your bank account. Shepherds come when you're about to lose your house. Shepherds come when you're about to give a bad report. Shepherds come when you need a word. Shepherds come when that man has walked out on you. Shepherds come when you got to tell the kids something about their daddy. That's when shepherds show up. Rich men come to the house. Shepherds came on the day that he was still home in that dirty barn in the back streets of Bethlehem. And then the Bible says that they left glorifying and praising God. Whenever God allows you to see the experience of the eternal now, you can't help but praise him. Anytime you get a revelation, sometimes you got to pinch yourself, especially when that thing comes to pass. And you've had that spiritual deja vu moment when you've already seen the movie in your spirit, when you've already seen it play out in your mind. And God lets you in on the other side of the cosmos. You can't help but to shout. When God lets you in on the other side of the story before the story even transpires, you got to open up your mouth and give God glory and give God praise. For the Bible says that after the shepherds saw the birth of Emmanuel, they left shouting. They left glorifying and praising God for what they had seen and heard. They came quiet. Came comatose. They came as cemetery dwellers. But after seeing Jesus, they left in a different state and a different posture. They left glorifying and praising God for what they had seen and heard. They left shouting, 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 giving praise unto God with vocal admiration. Shouting. It used to be part of the African-American religious experience. Used to be. Everywhere you went. Oh, but ain't nobody really, really, really shouting no more. And what interests me is that, you know, the more money we get, it's not dignified.
Right.
That's right. Yeah. Well, it doesn't show your title and your position. Shouting is for people who ain't got nothing and they need God to give them something. So they got to do a ring shout and pray down manna from on heaven. I've never, ever, 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 Miss Jackson. Had that posture in my religious beliefs. I just think the more God has given you, the more that he's blessed you with, the more you ought to praise him and give him glory.
to be the one to put the title on their door. Every day you ain't got to go to a broom closet. And you can close your door. Ain't got a window. You need to shout and just thank God for how far he's brought you. Now, how do you explain a shout? How do you explain something on the inside that comes out on the outside? How do I give definition to really an inexplicable? Because shouting is so personal. It's so interior. It's so spiritual when it's done right. And when it's done authentically. How do you explain that there's something on the inside that works on the outside? How do you explain the expression of God's essence in the individual that comes out in the form of some glorification and praise and some vocal ecstasy? How do you explain the shout? I really can't explain it all because you can't shout it all. The shout is not the fruit. The shout is the sweet nectar of glorification and praise. So you can't shout your entire reality. You can't shout all day long, but you cannot shout enough to give God really all praise for every day you've had breath in your body. The shout, again, is the sweet nectar of gratification. It's the overflow of something that is going on in the inside that makes your body move, makes your mouth open up, that you just got to tell somebody how good God has been to you. And then I also know that the shout is multidimensional, Mark. It is multidimensional. It's all three phases of time, but not in order. But when somebody shouts, they are drawing on the past, thinking about the future, and the two merge in the present. When somebody shouts, they are drawing from the past, thinking about the future, and the two merge in the present. When somebody really shouts, they are pulling from their past. They're drawing on their future, and the two converge in an explosive presence. When somebody shouts for real, they are thinking about how good God has been to them. They know God is going to bless them in the future. And when the past and the future converge, you can't help but to give God praise for what he's going to do in your life. Anybody ever had God bless them? Anybody ever had God bless them? Anybody ever seen God do some miracles? Anybody ever seen God do some wonders? Anybody ever said, won't he do it? If you said, won't he do it? Won't he do it? He'll do it again. And if you know that he's going to do it again, say yes. In that moment, they had been made to remember that he will do it, and that he's going to do it again. In that moment, when the future and the past get together, you just got to tell somebody what God has done for you. And again, y'all, shouting ain't what you think. See, y'all think you got the foam at the mouth. Y'all think we got to get out the purple little sheet and pass it over you. Y'all think you got to get sweaty and you got to do a little dance real fast with your feet. Everybody can't do that little fast thing with your feet. That ain't for everybody. That ain't shouting. Shouting really just opening up your mouth and saying thank you. Shouting, just open up your mouth and say thank you. Shouting, just open up your heart and open up your mind, and then something will come out because something has happened on the inside. It's got to come out on the outside. And if you got it on the inside, every now and then, yeah, yeah, every now and then, let it out. That's why authentic shouters don't have to pick their places. Authentic shouters don't care where they are. Anytime, anywhere, And I argue with you that the best shouting really ain't in church. The best shouting sometimes can just be in your closet. Not because you got a lot of shoes. Not because you got a lot of clothes. It's just because you're confined within that four square. And you just start thinking about the goodness of Jesus and all that is done for you. And when you're by yourself, you got to help somebody. You got to tell God, thank you for waking me up this morning. Thank you for leading me along my way. Thank you that you put me in my right mind. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that you help me. Thank you that you heal me. Thank you. Don't get bougie on me right now. That's the reason why some of y'all can't shout. Because you done got too bougie. You done got too uppity. Get all snooty on me. You know God been good to you. You know where you come from. You know you ain't had all that. You know you still paying your student loans. But God been mighty good. And when it's been good, I said, when it's been good, when it's been good, you got to tell some. Say yeah. Say yeah. Before we leave this year, give God the praise. Before we leave this year, give God the glory. Before we leave. Yeah. Yeah. Shout. Shout. Wilderness, they would ask themselves a question: how did you feel when you come out the wilderness? I said, how did you feel when you come out the wilderness? They were still in the wilderness. They were still in bondage. But they would ask themselves, how did you feel when you come out, even when you're still in? What type of dumb question is that? I can't tell you until I get out, but they knew they were going to come out, and I'm telling somebody, in 2017, you're going to come out. It might be next year, it might be next month, but they said I'm... I felt like shouting when I come out the wilderness.